verses of this parable, Jesus lets us know. He lets us into the room where we would have no doubt been uninvited on that dreadful day of reckoning. And that's what we're reading in Matthew chapter 24, or 25, verse 24. And let's read it together. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Verse 28. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall he be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Praise God. Take that one that he has and give to the one that has 10. Verse number 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and at my coming, he's reckoning with these servants that he knows them. He knows something about them. He's had dealings with them. He understands their capabilities. He has an understanding of what they can do. No doubt he has seen them perform in the past. And so he trusts them with something of great value, and feels like that they can take that and do something with it. And ultimately it's going to be a blessing to them as well in the end. But here the one is mentioned in verse number 27. He says to him in speaking back to him, the master, the steward, the landlord, if you will, he tells him, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. That ought, or you should have taken this. I know you had the capability to do something with this. And you oughtest therefore. I wonder how many of us, if we would take the time to look at our lives, and we would do inventory and be honest about what we have been given. If we also could even say to ourselves, I should have. I ought to have done that. I could have done something different. I possibly could have changed some things in my life at this point. And you know, I don't want us to come to that place that we're overtaken with a paralysis. And I really do think, I think this has been one of the problems in the Free Holiness churches. It's been something that has been an unintended consequence, because we want things right, and we want things pure, and we want things clean. But inadvertently, we have, I think at times, caused people to have a paralysis of some kind of feeling like they can never be good enough to ever do anything. And we don't mean, and I want you to hear my heart this morning, we don't ever intend to come across that way, that we would frighten somebody from taking what God has given them and applying that and putting it in the right place, because they feel like they can never be good enough. And I don't know what all the problems was in this man's life, but there was something that he had seen in this landlord or this master that had caused him to be afraid. So I want to use for a title this morning, and I know it may seem a little strange, and it's a little bit more lengthy, but I want to use it this way. My title: could have, should have, would have. If you want to shorten it, could have, should have, would have. He could have done something different. We can all read it without much pity for him sometimes and say, he should have done something with what he had. But if you notice, he has an explanation why he would not do what he could have done. He was afraid. Fear. Fear does strange things to us. And I may deal with that a little bit more tonight in the service. I'm not exactly sure. Preaching, you never really know for sure how things are going to go. But for right now, I want to take your attention to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We find the Apostle Paul. I'm going to begin reading about verse number 9. But we find the Apostle Paul is being transported as a prisoner on a ship that is fixing to rendezvous with destiny. And this one even has a name. And we call it, oftentimes it's read and pronounced as Euroclodon. However, the people that read the Bible through, that you can listen to sometimes, that are supposed to be smarter than us and know how to pronounce things, they pronounce this Euroslidon rather than Euroclodon. So ever how you would prefer to pronounce it, that seems to be the correct pronunciation. Euroslidon is the name of that storm. They name these storms like some we've just had. Irma and Harvey, and a lot of people remember Katrina, different ones. This storm was given a name, Euroslidon. Acts chapter 27, verse number 9. Now when much time was past, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain unto Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and the northwest. Notice he gives the location, the geographical location. And Paul is being transported as a prisoner. He's going to stand before Caesar, and he's been passed from place to place. Just previously, he's been transferred from one ship to another, which is the one that he's on now, that he's talking about. He understands, it's revealed to him by the Spirit, that there is a storm coming. Well, I'd like to help somebody here this morning. You know what? I can stand up here this morning with assurance and tell you, I don't even have to be a spiritual authority or to be a prophet to stand here flat-footed and tell you a storm is coming. You know why? Because storms come. They always happen in the circle of time and the seasons. It's just going to happen. Don't think it's strange when you get in one. If you're a new Christian or you just got saved, storms happen. Amen. Somebody say that with me. Storms happen. They just come. They've always come, and they always will come. Amen. Oftentimes when I'm preaching, and many times I suppose it's all the time. Amen. Right in the congregation where I'm preaching, There is somebody that's in the fight of their life. There is somebody that is in the storm of their life. And at the very same time, somebody else is enjoying sunny days and everything's going good. And it looks like life couldn't be better. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you are in the storm of your life, I have good news for you today. There's a brighter day coming. The clouds never stay forever. The tempest and the strong winds and the waves never stay forever. After a while, they will subside and the sun will shine. Come on now. Amen. And let me also warn you, if you're enjoying the best days of your life and you feel like you'll never have a problem, I'm telling you today, there is a storm that is coming. You may not have time to prepare. You may not realize it's coming. Nevertheless, it will. So wherever you are, be warned and advised. Amen. It is not going to always be like it is today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe somebody right now that's in a storm could just say, praise God. I got a word in this service from the pastor. Hallelujah. It won't always be this way. The sun's going to come out. The rough seas are going to level out. It's going to change. Praise God. Also, if you're enjoying good days, there's also a change coming in your life. Amen. You just have to be prepared for it and always keep your integrity and your faith in God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did y'all pick up on what I read in verse number 10? Paul said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Not only is it going to be negative on your business and your enterprise, not only is it going to have a negative effect on your assets, which is the ship. I mean, that's we know by reading the rest of it, that's going to be a total loss. They're going to completely lose that asset. They are going to, probably some lost their business. They probably went under that day. More ways than one. But it's not only going to be of your business and your livelihood and your assets, but also of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. But when the south wind blew softly, amen, supposing they had obtained their purpose, oh man, I realize now there's going to be so much more preaching here than what I can do. And I could start adding names and faces. I don't want to do that. I don't like to do that. We shouldn't have to do that. But I can do that. Of those that had warning after warning after warning, and they just supposing that everything was all right, and supposing that it was always about somebody else and never them. Because they're having a sunshiny day while somebody else is having a trial. And they just go ahead and... Man, I talked to one backslider one time. I was a young man. He was a good friend of mine and already had a ministry. And it broke my heart. And I was grieved and I went to where he was. I was so young, I didn't even know how to talk to people. But just out of love, I just wanted to be with him, let him know I cared about him. I went to him. He said, Daryl, you're not going to want to hear this. But he said, man, since I've got out of church, he said, man, this has been the best times of my life. He said, things couldn't be better. He said, I know that's not what you want to hear, but I mean, he had no interest in me talking to him. He had no interest in listening to what I had to say. You know what was going on? The south wind. He'd been in a struggle. He'd just give up the fight. You know, when you quit fighting and whoever's on your back gets off. That's if you're ever thinking about backsliding, that's always what's going to happen. That is a pattern. It happens over and over. Those last few days are such a struggle. And when you just let it go, it just, man. The struggle's gone. You get a reprieve only for a little while. And then your enemy, that is still your enemy, even when he's acting like he's not. He's working on your Euro sliding. I mean, he's got it. He's going to get you in that place, in that island where it looks toward the northwest and the southwest. And he's going to turn loose everything he has on you. Amen. Well, I wished I could train all my church folks here to, you know, I'm still preaching. If I'm not kicking and bucking and spitting, I'm preaching right now. Come on, just stay in here with me a little bit. Supposing they had obtained their purpose. But not long. Somebody say not long. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euro-sliding. Help me to preach here today, Lord. Right there in those six verses is your should've, could've, would've. Amen. Acts chapter 27 and 10. Amen. And he said to them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lady of the ship, but of your lives. There's your should have right there. There it is. In verse number 10, verse number 11 is your could have. Nevertheless, the centurion, he could have believed Paul, and he could have influenced the masters of the ship. Amen. He could have, amen, but he did not. Amen. And verse number 27, we have the would have, because the haven was not commodious enough to winter. We might would have just went ahead and done what the old prisoner was saying, but it's not a good enough place. My God, I wish I could preach to somebody. How many people always get that opinion that somehow the grass is greener on the other side, and the enemy pulls them away from the place they've been anchored, and all of a sudden something is happening in their life. They could have, they should have, and they would have if certain things hadn't happened. But I want to tell you again, things will happen in your life. Things are going to come your way. Amen. Thank God if you have a good church and a good pastor and good teachers and singers that will exhort you and encourage you to stay put. Hallelujah. They'd have been a whole lot better off if they'd have stayed right where they were. Amen. It's never a good time to make a decision when everything's crazy in your life. That's when people a lot of times make their decisions, and it's never a good time. Wait till it settles down. Oh, help me, Jesus. Sometimes we find ourselves. Are y'all listening to me preach? Am I doing all right so far? Sometimes we find ourselves in a similar situation. Paul finds himself in a crisis that is not of his making. Come on, work with me now. Just how many times do we find ourselves in a situation we didn't have anything to do with? It wasn't our making. It wasn't our fault. It wasn't that we messed up. We're just in a crisis that somebody else made. It was not a crisis brought on by his wrong decision. He's the one that's writing about it. I want to ask you a question. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm wanting you to, and you are. You're right now, it's quiet and you're still and listening. I really appreciate it. How many of you have been assigned to someone else's ship? who's been operated by somebody that's making bad decisions. You understand, Paul's a prisoner. Paul's a man of God. Paul's going to Rome. He's going to testify before Caesar. It's going to happen. He's transferred from ship to ship, place to place. And he's on somebody else's ship. Somebody else is calling the shots. It's not him. So I ask you again, how many of you feel like you've ever been assigned to something? You're thinking, man, I don't know how I got here. I've done it, Brother Todd, different times. There have been times I went to my office more times than one in a day to pray through over something. And I can remember, especially in my younger days, saying, God, I didn't do this. I don't know why I'm going through this. I didn't sow this. I don't ever remember doing or saying anything. I have no, I believe in the law of the harvest, but I didn't do this. Why am I having to clean this mess up? Come on, anybody? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm just, maybe nod your head or smile or give me some clue. But here you are. You're in a crisis that somebody else made. You're in a mess that somebody else made. Y'all stay with me. The Word of God always has a way out. That's when I'm studying and preaching, I want to give you the solution. How many like to come to church for solutions? Amen. Well, I know we all live in the same world. We all have sunny days and we all have stormy days. But what are you going to do when you find yourself in a crisis that you didn't have anything to do with? Let me ask you some more questions. What should we do? What should you do? When your marriage is on rough water, what's the answer to that? Let me tell you something. Again, I don't care. I don't care what a short time you've been married or how long of a time you've been married. Come on, I know some people make it sound like it's just rosy all the time and it's wonderful. And I wouldn't mind to have my wife come up here and illustrate and I think our marriage could be a good example. God has helped us, blessed us. Man, sweetheart, I'd do it all over again in a minute. I really would. I might let you get a little bit older than 17. Give Brother Troy a few more weeks there. Boy, it's been great. But you know what? Man, there's been storms. There's been things happen in our home. You know, I don't know. I don't know how to deal with this. What about when you get in a storm on your job? What about your business? Come on now. Y'all are quiet and you're listening and that's good. What about when we get in a storm in the church? Oh, I thought the church was never supposed to have any storms. Nothing, anything wrong was ever, everything's just supposed to always. What planet did you come from? Come on now. You know why about half the marriages end up in divorce? It's because when that marriage gets on rough water, somebody bails. Oh, somebody help me preach in here. Somebody decides to get out. Come on now. Somebody decides to do something different. You can't change jobs and careers every time your boss has a bad day. Come on now. You can't get out of the business you're in just because everything don't go good. Sometimes you make money and sometimes you lose money. Come on now. Oh, yes, sir, I've been on both sides of it. I've got a paycheck and I've wrote paychecks. And there's been times I've wrote checks out to my employees when I didn't get one. Come on now. Amen. But you just keep on. You just stay in there and you hold on and you ride it out and you seek God and you stay with what you know is going to sustain you. Come on. Somebody needs to help me preach in here right now. Let me tell you why your marriage is under attack. It's not just because you married the wrong one or didn't get the right one or missed the will of God at the beginning. I tell you why it's in trouble. It's because the devil hates marriage. Marriage is about God. Marriage is an institution of God. And it's always been about God. And the devil has always hated it. And he always will. And he'll do everything that he can to try to destroy that fabric. Oh, come on now. The devil hates the church. It's not only in holiness churches. The devil hates the institution. As marriage is an institution of God, so is the church an institution of God. Amen. So is your business. God knows that you've got to make a living for your family and the enemy, especially if you're supporting the church and supporting the work of God, is going to fight against your business. Things are going to happen sometimes. And how are you going to survive it? You got to stay with it. Oh, help me to preach, Holy Ghost. I know our instincts at times would try to make us believe we would be better off to bail out. Especially, hear me, I'm talking slow, clear, and plain. Especially if you're in somebody else's boat. Or you're in a storm of somebody else's making. Your instincts is to get out. Oh, hallelujah. If God would give me wisdom for a few more minutes, I'd like to offer a solution. There's always a solution. Believe the word of God. The word of God will always get you out. No matter where you are, no matter if it's a mistake of your own or if it's a mistake of somebody else, I've tried to lay this out here where you can understand. I realize sometimes we're in a crisis of somebody else's making, but whether or not it's your own, sometimes it's just our own dumbheaded mistakes that get us where we are. But no matter where you got there on your own or somebody else, God, how many knows God has a way out? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, preach with me for a little bit. Amen. You can always bail in the middle of the storm. You can always change careers. You can always change churches. You can always change when there's some wind, a false doctrine that tries to blow through. Amen. It stirs among the people. But let me tell you something. You can also ride it out through the faith in Jesus Christ. Get the word of God on it. Amen. Don't always live your life in the past. I could have. I should have. There'll always be an excuse or a reason why you would or would not do something. Amen. But God always, He always has a plan. Amen. You can't live your life always looking in the rearview mirror and saying, I should have. I could have. If I could only go back and do it over, I would. You can't do that. But praise God, you can look forward. Praise God, you can look ahead. Praise God, there's a way out. The Holy Ghost knows. The Word of God knows. The Spirit can give direction. And if we'll stay where we're supposed to be, you know what's going to happen? God's going to bring you out of that storm. God's going to bring you out of that crisis. God's going to bring you out of that that doubt and not knowing what to do. He always has a plan of escape.
What is the solution to could have, should have, would have? Listen to Acts chapter 27, verse 21. But after a long abstinence, Paul wasn't just messing around. He wasn't just on a cruise. He wasn't just enjoying the food and the fellowship. He was praying and seeking God. Amen. You'll read in this chapter not what I've got laid out to read today, but if you would read this whole chapter, you would find it had been 14 days. They hadn't seen the sun. Or the moon or the stars. Come on now. Anybody ever felt like you didn't even know your bearing? You couldn't find what direction? You can't tell up from down. You can't tell east from west. You can't tell front from back. Anybody ever been in one of those places? Let me tell you something. It's in those places that the devil wants you to make the decision of your life. That's when he wants you to make one of those life-changing decisions. It's when you're in one of those places where you don't know where you're at or what you're going to do. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, oh, hallelujah. You should. Come on, somebody say should. You should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. Do you know what? He didn't tarry on that long. And now I exhort you. Come on, church. I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. You're going to lose the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all. Somebody say all. I'll say it again. All them that sail with thee, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Would you say that with me in praise? I believe God. Can you say it with your hands raised? I believe God. How many believe God has all the answers? How many believe God knows how to get you out of the crisis? How many believe God knows how to bring you through? How many believe God knows right where you're at, even if you can't tell east from west, or up from down, or front from back? You don't know if you're coming or going. You don't know what you're going to do. But God knows where you are. And He knows what He's going to do. And He knows how to get you out if you'll listen to what He's saying. His word always has the answer. It's not a man's job. It's not a preacher's job. It's not a bishop's job. It's not some good person that you have confidence in job to tell you what you ought to do. God sometimes wants to talk directly to you. And His word is always right. I'll get back on the marriage issue just for a moment. Because it's on my mind. Because I counsel Courtney and Ansley a little bit. I counsel from the 5th chapter of Ephesians. The godly order. Hear me. So I'm preaching to people right now. I know you're having problems in your marriage. I know some of you are. If you are having trouble in your marriage, I'll talk to the husbands first. First of all, make sure that you are in submission to Jesus Christ. Until you, man, husband, get yourself in submission to Jesus Christ, you throw everything else off in your life. Because the divine order is the man to submit to Jesus Christ. Then it's God's divine order for the wife to submit herself to her husband. Even if you don't like it. Even if you think it's wrong, even if you think you have more sense than he does. Come on now. He do, y'all do, we do, us do. Boy, it's hard to admit, but sometimes they do, don't they? They all have some should have, could haves in my, I'd have been better off if I'd listened to what she said. But you know what? If I don't listen to what she says, wives, you are not going to be held in judgment for a bad decision that your husband made. It's all right for you to say what you think and what you feel. But when that ultimate decision has to be made by that husband, even if it was the wrong one, you're eliminated from, God's not going to hold you responsible for him making a wrong decision that you knew was wrong all the time. But husband, if you are not in submission to God, to Christ, you cannot expect your wife to be in submission to you. And then there's another step to that too. When there's children born into that home, and dad's not respecting Christ, mom's not respecting dad, children aren't going to respect mom or dad. And that's the reason young people are running wild right now. That's the reason there's so many homes right now where children are being raised by a single parent. Boy, I'm feeling pastoral and I get anointed, I'm starting to feel a little brave, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of problems going on in a lot of homes where women need to just cheese it in, quieten down. You go ahead and submit yourself to Christ. If your husband won't submit to Christ, you go ahead and submit to Christ. And then you know what? God will deal with your husband. He sure will. But the divine way for God, the way he wants it to work, is for the man to submit to Christ, the wife to submit to her husband, the children submit to her, to their parents. And then, praise God, we'll all get where we're going in a godly time and godly order. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody lift your hands in this house of God this morning. Come on, let's just take about 30 seconds here. Come on, just a little more, a little more. Woo, hallelujah. Hey, 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 hey. Woo, hallelujah. Yeah. The first marriage nowadays in America, about half of them end up in divorce. The second time around, the percentages even go further down. Y'all hear me preach? Third time around, they even go down from there. Praise God. So your chances are not good going another route besides God's. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, wish somebody shout praise the Lord in here. Thank you, Jesus. Is it all right if I go a little further? I know most of the time it's not wise for the spiritual leader or the pastor to say, I told you so. Oh, man. But would you forbear just for a little bit? Give pause. Because I know a whole lot of folks that have been a lot better off if they'd have done what the man of God said. I mean, come on, y'all. I'm saying this with a smile. And I mean it this way. I really do. I know a lot of people have been a whole lot better off. But you know what? It ain't going to do that preacher or that pastor. It ain't doing them a bit of good, those that's in the crisis right now, that's in the storm of their life. It's not going to do them or you a bit of good. Amen. Come on now. You can't be spiritual. You can't continue to be spiritual if you gloat in the fact that I I was right. They should have listened to me. If they'd have listened to me, they wouldn't be in that trouble they're in. Come on now. I'm trying to give you solutions. The Word of God has the solutions. He always has a way of getting you out. Amen. But Paul did say, you should have listened to me, and you shouldn't have sailed from Crete. But nevertheless, I know right now. Come on now. This old ship's still a bucking, and it looks like it's going to go down. Amen. And Paul, no doubt, even while he's trying to talk to them, is being swayed back and forth. But he said to them, you all got to stay in this boat, and nobody's going to lose their life. I got the word from God. I've been fasting and praying for about 2 weeks, and I got the word from on high that everybody is going to be all right. Come on now. Amen. Help me, church, for about 5 more minutes. Amen. Doesn't that sound good? We're all going to make it. Nobody's going to lose a hair of their head. We're all going to get there. We're going to get through this storm. We're going to lose the ship, but every life's going to be saved. Amen. Come on now. How many knows God can bring you through? How many knows God can answer your prayer? How many know God can see you through to the other side? If you do what the Word of God says, He'll bring you through it. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Well, I didn't make this problem, preacher. Paul didn't make this one either. Well, they should have listened to me. He told them, he was right. They should have listened. But that's in the past. Somebody say that's in the past. Come on now, don't live your life in the rearview. Should have, could have, would have. What are you going to do when that marriage breaks apart? How are you going to walk in there and tell those children, Mom and Dad's on rough water? Looks like things are fixing to fall apart. Now you kids, I don't know what's going to happen to y'all. You may have to make it the best way you can. What kind of emotional distress does that put them in? I don't mean to break the heart of any of my people, but some of my children just recently have had to go through some things in their extended families, okay? Y'all gathered around them. Whew. A couple of weeks ago on a Wednesday night, prayed over them, loved them. You didn't even know what it was about, but I did, and my heart was breaking. Oh, hallelujah. But praise God, today we can say things are better. Come on. Somebody rejoice with me. Hallelujah. We pray. God hears. Why are you saying that, preacher? I'm telling you, when marriages break up, it affects grown children as well. I watched it happen firsthand. It hurts them in a way you can't begin to fathom. But, all those phone calls and all that stuff is going on. Amy says, I need church. I need church. I need church. I need to get to church. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody rejoice with me. God answers prayer. He always, always, always has the answer to bring you through. He'll bring you out. Praise God. Sirs, you should have hearkened. You didn't. You've gained this hurt. Paul gives them a slight reminder and then quickly moves to the solution and the promise. Verse number 29. Still not quite over. I'm almost through preaching. Y'all can get ready to sing, Brother James, whenever you get your things together there. Look at verse 29. This is after Paul has said, we're all going to be okay. Wouldn't it be good right now if the Holy Ghost would witness in somebody's heart right now? I'm going to give some pause here, some time for the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? I said, is that all right? Whatever you're in, would you just listen and maybe see if the Holy Ghost would tell you right now it's all going to be okay. Amen. And if he would whisper it to you, would you just raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord. I praise you for it, Lord. I give you the praise. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I don't know. I don't know how this, I don't know. I still don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Paul didn't give them a rosy report. Everything's going to be great. And you're just going to slide on out from here. You're going to lose this ship. This ship's going down. You're going to lose this asset. You're going to lose this property. But we're not going to lose anybody's life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So, he says, now, I know you've been fasting. Get you something to eat. This is for your health. And I want to say that as a man of God this morning. Some of you have been going through some hard places. I'm fixing to give an altar call here in a little bit. Get yourself in this altar and eat. Come on. Come on, man. I never could understand why people say, I'm just drying up in that church. I'm just drying up. I can't get no help. Everybody all around you, people's getting saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. I can't get no help. You know what? When you go for a long time without eating, you can get digestive diseases such as bulimia and anorexia. There's some people that have stuck their finger down their throat so many times and coughed up everything the man of God said and puked it up and vomited it up till you can't receive anything from the man of God. Your spiritual body's just started rejecting it. I don't understand that. Come on. Take something. Get you something to eat. Get the altar call. We give the altar call. Get in the altar. When we have altar service tonight, Brother Brandon gives his testimony. Get you something. Get you something. This storm's not over yet. Get something. I don't like what you're doing, preacher. Oh, okay. I understand. I want everybody to love me. I really do. But, boy, sometimes... You know, sometimes I get in a storm of my own and I don't always know which way's up. But I know when I get in the Word of God, I can receive and I can eat and I can fellowship. So we get on down to verse 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, the word is they're going to be okay. They cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Somebody try to relate with me right now. Wherever you are in your hard place in your life, I am wishing for the day when the clouds roll away. They got a word from God. They're starting to believe the man of God now. Got him something to eat. The fast is over. The ship's still bucking. Storm's still going on. But they know because they put down those ropes or those rods they use to sound, and they know that the floor, the sea floor, is getting more shallow. So they know they still can't see the land, but they know they're getting close to land. And when you're in a storm and the ships and it's dark like it is, they don't want to get too close because the wind or a big wave may carry them on in and crash them. In the night, that's the reason they have those big lighthouses. Come on, don't leave me yet. Stay with me. I'm almost done. A little bit longer here. So they put down anchors and they wish for the day. Oh, man. How much longer is it? How much longer? Sunrise at 6 o'clock. They still don't know which way land is, Brother Bruce. Some's looking this way. Some this way. Some this way. I can see as the horizon's coming up. Somebody says, land! There it is, land, land. And right before the light scattered the darkness, the crew says, we're going to get us these lifeboats. You read it under Kohler. Come on now. And the shipmen were about to flee the ship when they let down the boat into the sea under Kohler, as though they had cast anchors. They're still acting like they're putting out another anchor. And them sorry dudes, all they were trying to do was act like they're putting down another anchor to save everybody else's life. And they was fixing to try to save their own. They were acting like they're putting down an anchor, but really, the crew got together and said, we know more about boats than anybody else. And so we're gonna escape. You know, hey, have you ever asked yourself the question, what would have happened if those guys would have escaped off of that ship? Because they thought everybody else was going to drown. If they would have, a few days later, they'd have run into somebody else on that same island that had been on that boat with them. See, you sorry outfit. You took the only lifeboats on there and you got out of Dodge. And you left us in that boat that's about to break up. But again, the man of God now that's calling the shots and they're listening to me. Hey, wait a minute. No. Hey. And those centurions, if you read this, it wasn't the ship's crew. It was the centurions that went over. They cut that rope. Let those lifeboats fall. They said, hey, you boys, we're taking charge of your ship now. It's not the crew that's in control. It's the centurion that's in control. He cuts the ropes on the lifeboat and lets them fall off. And then Paul says, except these abide in the ship. Are y'all hearing me preach? Is my message coming across? This is their solution for their crisis. I hope somebody's getting this. I'm trying to give you the solution for your crisis. You've got to stay in the boat, in the ship. Come on, Brother James, I'm ready for y'all. I really am. Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat. Let them fall off. The crew of that ship was about to mess the whole thing up. Praise God. They cut off the ropes and let it go. And God was fixing to deliver them. Can I just real quickly finish this little story? Daylight did come. They saw a place where two seas met. They hoisted up the mainsail and let the wind carry it on in until it run up that creek a little bit in the front part. I'm telling you, y'all hearing me preach? I think you are, and you're trying to put yourself in that position. The storm is still going. When that ship, the nose of it running in ground, it stuck, and the back part of it with the ferociousness of the waves broke it off in two. And then Paul said, hey, everybody that can swim, go, get to the land, go. If you can't swim, get a hold of a piece of this broken ship and hold on. It's the only thing that's going to save you, man. Didn't Brother Shannon do a great job with that in fellowship meeting? Going around handing out, some got to hold that little piece of wood. Get a hold of that. But you realize the ship's gone now, but at least get a hold of something that's a part of that ship. And ride this thing out. Praise God. They made it on in. Somebody lift your hands and say, praise God. Just say it with me. Praise God, they made it. Come on, I didn't hear you. Praise God, they made it. God, come on, somebody in your trial, why don't you say with me, praise God, I can make it. Praise God, I can make it. Say it again. Praise God, I can make it. I can do all things through Christ. Thank you, Sister Sarah, for playing. Just play real softly. I want to give this last little story, little illustration here. We just visited New York City. We took one afternoon. Went to the 9/11 Memorial Museum. It's an emotional experience. I'll put it that way. There's so many things in there I was taken by, but last night studying on this, I just remembered this one. I mean, a lot of things, but one thing I remembered, it come to me. I thought, well, maybe I should use it today. But in there, they told, some of the people told their own story were standing helplessly on the ground as they seen the weakness of those structures that they knew at any minute was going to collapse. And as horrible as it is, but people, especially in those floors above where the planes hit, that smoke and fire cut them off from the elevators. I hope that love and compassion is showing through this morning. I never want to discount anybody's crisis. I don't want to act like that you think I don't care. I know it must be horrible, some places that some people are in. And I know I've counseled people that felt like they were cut off and there's no way they could ever get out. No way to be rescued. No hope for their situation. Are y'all still praying with me, church? I'm working hard right now. And as people above those floors are walking to the windows of the ledges and bailing out and jumping to their death, they tell of one woman they saw, nicely dressed lady, stand on a ledge many floors above, and they're standing on the ground helplessly watching. And though she tries to compose herself and pull herself together, this is what they said at the 9/11 museum. I want to say this for other reasons too. You may look at things different when you're cut off and in a crisis and the fire's burning around you. New York City's a horrible, wicked place. But they said in her poise and her ladiness, she reached down in an act of modesty and held her skirt together and jumped off that building. No hope. Why are you saying that, preacher? I just want to tell you this. They know for a fact there were people that were many floors up that when those buildings came down, they rode that thing all the way down. And somehow, miraculously, somebody found them alive. I'm not in no way making that woman look bad. I don't know what I'd done. Faced with that situation, don't anybody take me wrong. That's not at all. I tried to put her in the best light I can. But I'd rather you take your chances with the boat. Come on now. Would you stand with me in this house of God? I know I've got to quit. When I'm like this, I could just go on and on and on and on, and that's not wise. Your chances will be better. Go with what God's word says. Yeah, but I missed it, preacher. I should have. I could have. If I'd have just done this different, if I'd have just done this or that, or if I'd have just wouldn't have went to work that day, or if I, you can't live your life that way, folks. You just can't. You may have been a crisis of your own making. You may have been a crisis of somebody else's making. But God knows where you're at, and He knows how to give you direction. I know there's a lot of people that wish to opine. Everybody has an opinion. And before you walk up to somebody and give them their opinion of what you think they ought to do, you might ought to do a little research about where they came from and what's happened in their life. It might change your opinion. But God's word is not open for debate and opinion. His word always works. First of all, no matter where you are in your life, and I've covered different things. I've covered marriage. I've covered churches. I've covered businesses, relationships of different kinds. First of all, wherever you are, whether you're in a sunny day or whether you're going through the trial of your life, first of all, get your house in order. Get your affairs in order. Just like at the original reading, the man's going to go on a journey and he calls his servants and gives them those things. First of all, do that. If you're not totally submitted to Christ, I challenge you. If we have people here that are not saved this morning, we want you to be saved. That's the first step. Teenager, you may not like mom and dad's rules. It don't matter if you don't like them. Get yourself in submission to their rules. God didn't ask you if you agreed with them. Moms and dads, if your kids need to talk to you, especially if they're struggling with some points of standard and things they may not understand, don't just give them the answer, let's go ask the preacher. Don't just give them the answer, well, that's just the way they've always done. Give them a biblical answer. If you don't know, you tell them. You challenge them. I'll pray with you. You pray. We'll pray about this as a family together. And we'll study for a couple of weeks and we'll talk about this again. Pray about it. Husband, don't expect your wife to jump at everything you say if you haven't submitted yourself to Christ. Submit yourself to Christ. Wife, submit yourself to your husband. Children, submit yourself to your parents. All of us, how many know the Bible says all of us are to submit ourselves one to another? We are to submit ourselves to spiritual authority. These preachers in my church, Brother Todd, Brother Jimmy, Brother Robbie, Brother James, different ones. There's been at times we've talked and I've let you know you have the right to speak into my life. My deacon board knows that. That's another reason some churches can't grow, and that's the reason some preachers get in trouble. They want to be accountable to nobody. That's not the divine order. You got to be accountable. Let's do that first. God knows how to get your little ship out of that storm you're in. Hallelujah. Get you to safety. Lift your hands with me one more time. In the house of the Lord this morning. They're fixing to sing. Could we worship for about 30 seconds? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Move in this altar call. Move in this altar service, Lord. Please, for a few moments, don't let anybody's pride get in their way. If there's somebody that you feel like you need special prayer, don't be afraid to ask for special prayer. I've already tried to illustrate how that's worked for some in our churches the last couple of weeks. I need help. I need prayer. I need direction. I don't know what to do. Man, God wants people to, you know, it's not in this church business. It's not always, well, they're not doing right. Hit the road, Jack. Head on down somewhere else. That's not what the church is for. But man, you got to get it right. The church is to help us. To encourage us, to provide some accountability one to another. You should have hearkened and not loosed. I wish you wasn't in that problem. I wish you wasn't in that trouble you're in. But God's not going to walk on by you and leave you and say, yeah, there's no hope for you. No, no, no. He loves you. Please hear me. He loves you. He cares about your crisis. About your circumstance. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. I don't know. I just feel this. I know they're ready to sing. Let's just wait on God here a moment or two, can we? I've been praying about my altar calls. I really have. I've been asking God. I feel like I've messed it up so many times right here. Sometimes I've been too long. Sometimes too short. Holy, holy, holy. God in heaven, great God, help us here today, Lord. Lord, I know there's people here in crisis. I know there's children at stake. I know there's young people at stake. I know there's some here I'm preaching to. They're in crisis of their own. That is not, they have nothing to do. And they had nothing to do with the crisis they're in, but yet they're in it. Bring us through it, Lord. without one being lost, without one being injured, without one being hurt. And the church would agree with me, will you? That God's going to hear us and God's going to give us direction. And God's going to save lives, heal families and save souls and spare businesses and grow churches for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here want to step out right now for special prayer? Come on, don't anybody think anything's too obvious. Matter of fact, if I wasn't given the altar call, I'd be the first. I'd get me and my wife, my grandchildren, and we'd come down here. Sometimes just admitting, I need some help. I just need nobody, because I preach on a certain thing. Come on, Holiness Church, we got to get past that. Because a preacher preaches on a certain thing, and somebody, you might need help for something totally unrelated to what I preached about today. You don't know. Don't jump to conclusions, other folks. Oh, I know I got you standing. I can't get the clearance here. Move forward. Are you praying, saints? Are you listening, young people? Is all of our attentions focused on Christ? Remember the first time they paid no heed to Paul. The second time, everybody was listening. Thank you, Lord. Sing, brother.
When my dreams are lost at sea, that's when Jesus is my faith is strong and carries me. Though sometimes the weak
come on, saints. Some of y'all sit close here, gather around this. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on, there's others. Let's fill these altars here this morning.
Oh,
hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory.
My faith is strong and carries me. Though sometimes the weak, I still believe. Lord, I still believe.
Oh, God wants to work in your life.
His desire.
God wants to work in your life.